Kevin, I don't know if you know this. We do have Kevin Jones in the studio. We have fallen in love with the genre of music known as vaporwave. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
I want them to keep playing this the whole bit here. Yeah, can this be like, I like this as my music, my intro music.
Doesn't it make you feel, the whole idea is that it's supposed to have a nostalgic throwback feel to the 80s and 90s, kind of an electric version of the inspirational training montages, if so.
It's throwback and futuristic at the same time.
Yes,
I'm feeling
yes.
nostalgic about the 80s, but also, wow, we're almost to the roaring 20s, the 2020s. I like
it. It truly is transcendent. I know, we do have another roaring 20s. I don't think Flapper Girls are going to be as big this time.
No, I can see short haircuts. There's going to be some wild style
That's
thing
true.
In the 2020s with women. I'm calling it now.
That's cool, man. What you need to do is figure out how to make money off of that.
I'm always thinking of that.
Always got to be thinking.
Shark
always.
Tank is my ultimate goal, not becoming big in the media. It's getting in front of Mark Cuban.
Oh, man, good stuff. So, by the way, Mark Cuban, is he looking at the Warriors and trying to figure out what he can do to make his team good in the future? I know that they've been playing better, but is there a team that can actually look at the Warriors and say, that's what we need to do, or is it kind of a pipe dream at this point?
Well, I think you see the Rockets now shooting a ton of threes, the Celtics doing the same. Teams are building themselves to try and look like the Warriors, but you just can't actually be them because of their switching defense and the passing, and Steve Kerr. Steve Kerr is the puppet master pulling strings here, and Iguodala, too. There's just too many pieces. You cannot replicate this team, not for the price, and the Warriors are about to find out. They're going to have a tough time keeping this team together every year.
Yeah.
There's going to be people shuffling in and out the next few years besides the stars.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that I know you just wrote about on KNBR.com and what the future holds for Andre Iguodala. He's never been older, but he's perhaps never been more important to what the team is doing right now.
When Kevin Durant went down, they were struggling, of course, because of the road series, and Steph and Clay weren't hitting shots, but Iguodala, his worth and his importance have been proven time and time again during the month of March. He hasn't averaged 11.8 points per month since that NBA Finals in 2015. His worth is here. The question becomes, Ted, this is his last NBA contract. Doesn't he want to cash in? This is a guy into Silicon Valley, into becoming an entrepreneur afterwards. He wants to set himself up financially. A team like the Wizards, a team in the Eastern Conference who needs that one veteran piece, he's getting $11.1 million this year, Ted. I think he can make that and much more. I don't know all the cap figures because everything's changing and they're saying the salary cap's going to go down next year. I don't think the Warriors are going to be able to come up and match another team if he's going to be all about the finances.
Is there somebody else out there that can replace what Andre Iguodala does for the Warriors?
You know, I haven't gotten that far into the free agency thing, but I don't think so. I don't think there's one person. I think you could find someone who could, you know, do a part of that and another person who can do a part, but the rebounding, the passing, the defense, the tempo, the pacing. This is Steve Kerr's favorite player on the team. It's not Steph. It's not Clay. I mean, his favorite person and the person he relies on most a lot is Andre Iguodala to turn things around, to get things righted, to be the coach on the court. I don't think you can fully replace him.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the first things Steve Kerr talked about in the postgame last night was the idea the team settled down once Andre got out there.
The second quarter was when they turned things around. And then the third was when Steph felt comfortable enough and he's not even thinking. That's what Andre Iguodala does. He takes the thinking away. He gets the ball and he's passing it to you. You know what to do. So, again, will he want to stay here? Yes. Will the Warriors be able to come up with the funds? I just don't think so. And I'm not going to claim to be Danny LaRue or some salary cap expert here. But the more he plays like this, the more willing a team is going to be able to spend a lot of money. Because you look at guys like Jeremy Lin and some of these guys who are making more money than Andre Iguodala. He's a businessman, you know what I mean? He's going to be like, I deserve a lot of money. Whether that's going to be a 2 or 3 year contract, we'll see. I will say he is 33, but he is playing like he's 29, you know what I mean? And Father Time catches up with everyone but Tom Brady, so that has to go into some decision-making here, but he's fresh right now.
He does like the proximity to Silicon Valley, though. I mean, that was one of the things he cited in his reasoning for coming to the Bay Area. So, I mean, let's just say why, I mean, if he's making good money as is, if he can continue making somewhat good money and be a part of a winning team and be this close to the greater financial opportunities, wouldn't any true businessman say it's all about the long term?
True, but can't he still have those relationships elsewhere? You know, he could be in Washington and still text the CEO from a certain company. I think that they would respect him making a financial decision, too. And if he wins a championship this year, Ted, that'll be 2 championships on his belt. People won't say he's chasing money. He accomplished something here. Just being around him and knowing him, and he's going to be mysterious about this because I think questions will continue to arise until the playoffs about this.
Yeah.
This is definitely a storyline. I think he'll want to come back, but if it's $5 million here or $12 million in Atlanta or Washington, I think the Warriors are going to have to plan like they're moving on, because they're just, they just financially, they committed to Kevin Durant, not to all the side pieces.
Again, we are talking to the one and only Kevin Jones, lead writer at KMBR.com, joining me here in studio. What has been to you the most impressive thing that the Warriors have done now as part of this 9-game win streak? And I mean, last night would probably be the most impressive individual moment, but how have they changed their game to where they were losing and not playing good basketball to where now they are taking on and beating all comers?
Their net defensive rating is better since Kevin Durant went down, and a lot of people did not see that coming because he's top 10 in the league in shots blocked. I mean, yeah. He filled that Andrew Bogut role enough where it was not a problem defending the post this season. So I thought they were going to have some problems in the post. They haven't. Their net defensive rating is 99.3. I think it's best in the league in the month of March. They play defense. It's so simple. We say it every time when we watch this team. Defense leads to offense. I hate to be boring about the formula, but when they're playing this well on defense, yeah. Then Steph is not thinking. He's shooting from wherever. Klay is getting cuts and layups to the basket. The defense has set up everything. It dug them out. Draymond got that first win against Philadelphia, the first win of the 9-game win streak. It was all about defense in the fourth quarter. They shut down Philly. They have rode that wave of defense the last 2 weeks.
Do you think that Klay Thompson's defense gets overlooked a little bit? Because he's been huge in the last couple of wins, but people do kind of want to talk more about his offensive exploits.
For sure. I think he'll always be overlooked for what he brings. I think he is better than James Harden. I think if you put him on the Houston Rockets, he's putting up those type of numbers, maybe not the assists, but in terms of total package.
Yeah.
Listen, he's not a ball handler. They're completely different types of shooting guards, so you'd have to set up a different system. But I think he could be as productive as James Harden with the Houston Rockets. And like you just said, his defense. Look, we're so in love with his shot and the way that he doesn't even dribble the basketball. He catches and shoots. We don't talk about a shot. James Harden couldn't do anything the last two games against the Warriors. Can you give someone an MVP trophy when they don't show up against the Warriors?
Yeah.
24 points, yes, but he's doing it all at the free throw line. I know he's unorthodox, but to me, Klay Thompson and James Harden, you put them on an even level playing field, I would think Klay would thrive more than James Harden.
So how do you get the Warriors to adjust back to the return of Kevin Durant while keeping this defensive intensity and then maximizing your offensive output?
Oh, the storyline has already written itself. They're going to lose a game to that 8 seed, one game probably on the road, and there's going to be like, oh, Durant, here it is. Curry's not himself anymore. This is the problem with them. The Warriors were more fun last season. The storylines are going to be blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
It is going to take some adjusting. It sucks because Andre Iguodala is not going to be as aggressive with the basketball, and it's so fun to see him play this way. And the Warriors, I think, are 20-0. No, they're 16-0 when he scores 20.
20 or more, yeah.
So, I mean, that they're going to have to pull that formula back out at some point and need him to be aggressive, but roles will shift. David West, how about his role too? Defensively and as a ball distributor right now, people are kind of go back into their parts when Durant gets back, but it's been just very encouraging to see everyone step up just in case there is another injury in the postseason, which happened a lot.
Yeah, obviously. And then last night, Klay went down for a second and then went out for a timeout, but then was back out on the floor. I know I was holding my breath during that moment. I mean, there's just, you know, things happen. I mean, listen, you got James Michael McAdoo walking around like he just got in a knife fight with somebody. You know, it's the nature of the beast of a physical game like the NBA. But, you know, it's funny because a lot of people, when Steve Kerr became the fastest coach to ever win 200 games, people were like, wow, you know, blah, blah, Luke Walton and blah, blah, look at the team he was handed. And I kind of wanted to say, well, look at the teams that Pat Riley and Phil Jackson have had as well, and Pop. Like, there's no surprise that great coaches are often paired up with great talent. And Steve Kerr keeps on making the most of these guys, keeps on finding new ways to inspire and challenge them to get their best brand of basketball.
Wait. People are saying that. Look at the team he inherited. Yeah, Steph Curry was not Steph Curry when Steve Kerr got here. I mean, Draymond Green was a really nice bench player that we had not figured out fully who he could be. If Steve Kerr doesn't come here, if Mark Jackson stays and then they get some other random coach.
Is
Steph Curry Steph Curry? Honestly, you know
what
I mean?
Thought. Yeah, I mean, because you look at the way the offense has opened up away from that ISO ball, the ball movement was on display once again last night. I mean, that's the indefensible part of the Warriors. We talk about the turnovers and the stops on defense and the way they get the points in transition. You get Curry bombing away, you know, from, you know, way outside the arc after they get a defensive stop. But that's the Warriors doing their Warriors thing where it's the raw talent coming alive. But when they're playing that planned tactical ball movement, let's wear out this defense, that's when they're, to me, the most unstoppable.
Listen, they're on a high of high right now, coming off back-to-back wins at Houston and San Antonio. Things are not going to be this picture perfect. They're going to struggle a little bit when Durant comes back. They're probably going to have to face someone Actually, no, their second round matchup is going to be Utah or someone. So second round will be fine.